This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
What an interesting twist this series has taken. Milwaukee and Indiana minus Giannis, at least at the start, per Adrian Wojnarowski, of course, our great NBA insider and reporter.
It seems appropriate to play the Rick Ross as the rejoin. I mean, based on what's going on and then the beef going on between the Pacers and the Bucks, I'm just saying, it just feels appropriate.
Why? What did Rick Ross have to do? Anything?
I mean, he had a few things to say on social media yesterday.
We need a Heat Raptors series between Rick Ross and Drake right now.
Well, one of those teams is in the playoffs or play in, I guess.
Tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern.
There you go.
On ESPN against Philadelphia.
Hello.
All right. Yeah, we'll focus on that tomorrow. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, even though we're going to go to a series that starts after this, because I'm just too nervous about it. Milwaukee and Indiana. Let's just throw this out there, guys. Based on all of the information that has been out there, from our conversations with Brian Windhorst today, our conversation with Tim Legler today, the reporting from Adrian Wojnarowski, is there a chance that Giannis Antetokounmpo has played his last game in a Bucks uniform? A chance. A month ago, 2 months ago, we would have said 0%. Are we putting it at 1%?
There's a chance. You have to entertain it, because if this team has gone through three coaching changes in the last 6 months, if they get bounced from the playoffs in the first round, not 1 year, but 2 years in a row, I just think there's certainly an opportunity for it. I just think with all of the upheaval, knowing where this roster is at, knowing the limitations that they have to add because of the draft capital they gave up to get Damian Lillard, I could see a world in which, you know, Giannis entertains the idea of asking out. Remember, this is somebody that took a really long time to determine whether or not he wanted to sign the contract extension to stay in the first place last offseason. So I do think that he's thought about life in a different uniform. He's thought about life outside of Milwaukee. I didn't anticipate that the time where that would actually start to come into – come into his sights or something. I didn't think that it would come into his vision once he got Damian Lillard on his team.
Right, you thought this could be two or three years from now.
The organization gave him everything that he wanted. He wanted a coaching change. They moved on from Bud. He got Adrian Griffin. He didn't like how that was going. They fired him when Adrian Griffin was 30-13 and went to Doc Rivers. That doesn't look like it's working out. Like, you got Damian Lillard. They moved heaven and earth, including getting rid of Drew Holiday. Like, you got the contract extension, the max deal that you were looking for. You got everything you wanted last summer. And for it to be the same result in the playoffs this year that it was last year, and then to bail on the franchise, I just think that that changes the way we have to look at Giannis moving forward.
But because his fingerprints are over all of these moves, how many people do we know that really would say, yeah, that's my bad? Maybe I shouldn't have been so influential in moving on from Adrian Griffin when the team was 30-13. Maybe I shouldn't have wanted this or wanted that. I could absolutely see a world where Giannis looks at the situation that he's in, and if they have an early exit, changes are going to have to be made. And he says, I don't really see a way out of this mess. I'm in going into my age 30 season. After this injury in the playoffs, he's more acutely aware than ever that your chance to maximize your prime is very finite and anything can happen. And if he is looking around at the situation in Milwaukee and saying, I don't see how we're going to be better next season than we are now, or I don't really see a way out of this, we're living in an NBA, in a modern NBA, where players are asking out all the time. Even though Giannis has said how much he loves Milwaukee and hasn't really given really any glaring indication that this is something he would do, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Yeah, I don't think it's as much of a mess as we're making it out to be. Like, I think at some point, you're right, Smalls, we're not going to see somebody say, hey, this is on me, my bad. But this is a roster, when healthy, that Giannis should be able to make work with. Like, he should be able to make this roster work.
the defense at some
They're awful.
I don't agree with that. They should not. Well, they should not be
awful.
They're awful
defensively.
But he's known as one of the best defenders in the entire NBA. So was Brook Lopez, who, by the way, even at the older age now, played 79 games this year. You've got guys
but he's
like
not the same defender.
I understand that, but you still have Jay Crowder. You have Pat Bev. You have these guys coming off the bench, now starting with Bev, that are defenders.
Yeah, but those
they
are,
should be better than
all,
they are.
Those are all guys that are aging out of their prime, though. Like, you're talking about guys that should be better defenders. I don't know that you're going to be able to turn back the clock when it comes to Father Time. They're not getting that athleticism that they once showed 3 or 4 years ago back. So, I mean, it's a roster that when you start looking at the supporting cast is not giving the two stars exactly what they need. Because you got to find a way to hide Damian Lillard's defensive deficiencies. You just have to. And that used to be a point of strength, knowing how good of an on-the-ball defender Drew Holiday was. So that dramatically changes your defensive approach, your philosophy, your schemes. And this is a roster that's had to adjust to that on the fly, and they haven't done a really good job. And it opens the door now to question whether or not this group of guys is even capable of doing that.
I just think that Wendy said something to us very interesting earlier. He said they built this team not for Dame. Meaning when you have Dame, you build it differently than when you have Drew Holiday. If you have Drew Holiday, who's a willing passer, not that Dame is not, and Giannis, you surround them with shooters. If you have Dame, he is your shooter. You surround him with wing defenders. Middleton's been banged up during the course of the season, only played 55 games. He's an excellent player when he's 100% healthy. So maybe they would have been built differently. Maybe making a trade that late in the process is actually dangerous for any team to make, to change a team that late in the process. But at some point, this has got to go back on Giannis and not just the coaching. You're supposed to be the best defender. You're supposed to be the best player relative to taking the ball to the basket in the NBA and getting to the rim. He's unbelievable at that.
Mm-hmm.
This is on him more than maybe any of these other years. And also the other thing that you have to wonder, if we're going to do this to guys like Embiid, which is fair to do, we have to do it to Giannis a little bit. He's always hurt in the playoffs now. This is the second straight first round. He's missed games.
Mm-hmm.
He missed games against Miami last year, right? He's missed games in the playoffs. So while Giannis is as durable seemingly as they come, you know what? Like, I'm sorry, in the playoffs now he's missed a bunch of games. That's not okay either.
No, it's not okay. But again, I think you have to consider how this team is built. Like, I mean, a lot of the guys that you mentioned, they're all 30-plus years old. I mean, Chris Middleton's 32. I mean, you're looking at Brook Lopez. He's in his mid-30s. I think he's 36. I mean, you look at Pat Bev. He's 35. Like, these are all aging players, and I'm just not sure that those guys are going to be able to pick up the slack when Giannis or Dame is out of the lineup or when you start getting on the defensive end where Dame is a liability. So that becomes then the question, can they retool this team around those two players? Can they do enough to actually maximize what they're getting from them at this stage in their careers?
Right.
I don't have the answer to that.
Let me ask you a question. Which star is most likely this summer to ask out between the list of stars I'm about to give you? Giannis out of Milwaukee, KD out of Phoenix, Embiid out of Philly, Tatum out of Boston. There's no indication on some of these actually happening. I'm just throwing them out there. I'm playing out if they lose early kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which star do you think is most likely to ask?
Run down the list again.
I'll give you Giannis, KD, Tatum, Embiid. Is there any other star? Put Steph and LeBron in there just for sake of conversation. I'm not suggesting any of these guys actually ask out. I'm just playing out if they lose really early. Steph obviously already did. What happens over the summer? Which one's the most likely to ask out?
KD's out of there.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
So above Giannis, you would.
Yeah. KD's out of there. I mean, depending on what happens in the first round, I guess they could try to convince themselves that running it back is the right thing to do. But I just think when you look at where the Phoenix Suns are at, how much money they're spending on that roster, I mean, they just extended Grayson Allen. They gave him some money. They've got Bradley Beal, which is an immovable contract. You're stuck with him. And then you've got Devin Booker. They're not going to dream of moving off of him. Like the one guy that you would think you can move off of, especially considering his age. I think he's, 37 years old? Moving off of KD actually does make some sense for them in terms of trying to retool that thing. So I think he's the one that I would probably put at the most likely of candidates. But then the other guys, you start running out of lists, and I would say Giannis ain't too far from the top. He's not, just based on how disastrous it's been. Now, you keep saying that it's not as bad as we're making it out to be.
Or it shouldn't be, I should say.
It shouldn't be. That's what I was about to say. I can't find the good right now.
No, you're
right. I struggle to find the good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just sitting here thinking about it. It just feels like a situation that has become very volatile, and I could see Giannis deciding, you know what? I don't want to have to deal with this. There's still some team that would look at me as a guy that they would overhaul everything they're doing for. There's a team that I could potentially move to that puts me closer to a championship than what I'm currently at right now in Milwaukee.
Smalls, same thing? You would say KD or would you say Giannis?
I would say KD just because the Band-Aid's already been ripped off for him. Asking out, I don't think would impact him in any way. When you go through the list, I don't think Jason Tatum's going anywhere. Steph has all the power in the situation with Golden State. I can't see him wanting to move on from that, really. I'm with CC. I think Giannis is a second just because he did have a lot of influence in what's happening now in Milwaukee. And if he can't see the forest through the trees, I could see him wanting to look for greener pastures and move on somewhere. But I think KD is the likely answer here.
I mean, I guess the question is, if that's the case, where's he going?
Which one, KD or?
Where's Giannis? Where's Giannis going? Like, I mean, like people think that it's possible that he could ask out. The question is, where's he going?
I mean,
where is he going?
Okay, let me guess. Mark is doing TV today? Boy, Mark, our TV producer,
They got a bunch of picks. They got a contract that they can move, although I don't know if that's exactly what somebody is looking for.
You
got
to provide Milwaukee young players. You got to provide them a young nucleus. It's not just picks.
Yeah, I know.
The Knicks don't have that.
They don't have that.
The Warriors may. Oh, boy, I just stopped you in your tracks.
We better go to break.
Wow.
We better go to break.
I mean, if you think,
we better go to break.
Can you imagine?
Now that would be doing right by Steph Curry.
Damn right it would be.
Hey, Steph, yes. we're not gonna give you Klay Thompson back, but we got y'all to.
I'm good.
How do you feel about that?
Exactly. How you feel about that?
We're on SportsRelife, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We got a first rounder, we think, sitting with us right now.
No,
Terry,
we know. We know we got a first rounder.
Well, he doesn't know. He just told us he doesn't know. Terrion Arnold is a cornerback out of Alabama, and he joins us in studio. Okay, we gotta have you weigh in on something. You just told us off air, I'm going to bring it on air, that in getting ready for the draft here, you're going to go to the barbershop. You got to look good to get to Detroit. We've had this big debate. Do you pay more or less than $50 for a haircut?
I pay less.
That a boy. Well done. Yeah, me too.
Come on, man. It don't take that much to get a haircut.
Ahem.
But look, it depends though.
What's up?
Because at Alabama, you know, if the guy pulls up, then you could pay 50.
Yeah, for the skip.
Yeah, yeah.
For the
skip. Then on top of that, like my barber, shout out my barber Jeff, man, in Tallahassee, man. You know, FaZe Barbershop. He been with me from the jump. So sometimes, okay, man, Jeff, I ain't gonna tell you the exact amount, but you know, let me bless you. Mm-hmm. When you're in a position to bless people, you bless them. Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes it could be more than that.
That price
well, you're about to be
week.
In that position real soon. You got about a week worth of time.
That's
a lot of people. So let me ask you this. One more thing on the haircut. How much do you pay the barber when he comes to you?
When he comes to me?
Do you pay him any extra?
50.
50? Okay.
Yeah. All
right. Okay.
So and do you tip?
My agent, Nicole, told me about that. 20%.
Yes. Maybe you need to get Nicole as your agent. Cause,
nah, man, $50 haircuts. I'm not
you,
hey,
actually,
nobody.
While you at it, we got one more session of rookie school. You should come join.
Well,
you
know,
we'll be talking about taxes. Yeah.
Tarion, I have something for you. I know the hair is going to be right in Detroit, but what about the outfit? Can you give us a sneak peek of what the fit might look like on draft night?
It's crazy because right before I came here, I was talking to my girl, SK. I had just tried my suit on. So my suit is Salmon. Just know I play cornerback, so... Got to have confidence. Got to be fresh. I'm going to be clean.
Oh, you have a salmon suit.
Yeah, salmon.
All right, 12 to the Broncos. All right, that's what we're going to assume now. I have read, tell me if this is right, that you have a very close relationship with Saban, but I'm not talking about Nick. His wife that you are very close with. Explain this. Yeah, Miss Terry.
Miss Terry and my relationship, I would say, is one of a kind. She's just a genuine person, the type of person, like I always say, she'll give you the shirt off her back. And just us being able to connect and grow closer over the years. It really started when I went to Coach Saban's house during Thanksgiving. Go to his house and I find myself, Coach Saban's like, why has Tarion spent 2 hours talking to my mother? Like, but that's my old soul that I got, being around my grandparents and stuff and my great-grandmother. When I go back, I just like to listen to her tell stories. So I'm just learning and listening, and she's just talking about Coach Saban, how he is. And then Miss Terry, she comes out, she says, do you want to play Rummy Cube? I'm like, Miss Terry, I don't really know how to play that, but... we could try. She said, okay, let's start with something simple like Uno. We're playing Uno. She ends up beating me, and I'm a very competitive person. See, her being around the game, when she beat me, she stopped it. So, you know, that hurt the most because, like, I can't get a chance to get my get back.
No rematch.
Yeah, I'm begging her, like, can we play again? Can we play again? She's like, no. And then just from the years on, really this year it really developed because I went to the lake. And, you know, Coach Saban has lake day, but I didn't go with him. We went with Miss Terry. It was like me, Kool-Aid, Jermaine Burton, Caleb Downs. And it was fun, man, just the way she was driving the boat. And honestly, she had knocked me off the tube. So when she knocks me off the tube, Kool-Aid is driving. So while Kool-Aid is driving, I just see the boat. I turn my head and I just see the boat head towards me. I'm like, cool. Like, yo, what you doing? And then like Miss Terry jumped in and took the wheel. But it's just like a testament to how she really is. Like, there for her players, and you know, we just built a lifelong bond. And actually, she texted me last week because I had went back for a day and stuff, and she was just telling me, you know, don't take these moments for granted.
Tarion, I know that you're excited about what's in front of you, and you absolutely should be, but I'm curious to know from your perspective last year and going through the season at Alabama, did you have any insight that would be Nick Saban's final season coaching in college football?
Not at all. With him, Coach Saban is a very interesting man.
Oh, I would say to say the least.
Yeah. And he's a perfectionist. So we kind of hinted at it that, okay, if we win a national championship, he could retire.
Yeah.
So we kind of hinted at that. But then when he really just kind of bought into the team, he told us 24/7 how proud he was of us. And my relationship with him, like Kool-Aid and I, he would get on us and say, hey, man, like, do you guys have the poor me's or do you guys want to work today? So we would tell him, like, if it was a rough day for him, hey, Coach, like, do you have the poor me? Do you not want
to
be here today?
You said that back to Saban?
Yeah, man. It's my coach, man. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say it to him when I'm a freshman. I had to earn my rank and build my stripes up.
Yeah.
But then when it got to that point, yeah, I could say stuff like that to him. And he would just look at me like one time. It was crazy. He said, actually, yeah, I had to sleep on the couch last night. Why? Miss Terry was mad at me. So, I mean, like with Coach Saban, man, that relationship – I didn't know he was going to retire. Yeah. It really caught me off guard, but at the same time, though, I could see why. Because now if you're around him, man, smile on his face.
Yeah.
He's not under stress.
Yeah, you talked about earning your stripes as a freshman. I mean, you were a highly touted recruit coming out of Florida. I mean, one of the best in the business. I mean, I'm curious to know, how did you how did you handle being redshirted when you got to Alabama? Because you could have went other places and not been redshirted. You could have stepped on the field as a true freshman, but you were redshirted at Alabama. Now, as soon as you stepped on the field, freshman All-American, the rest is history, you're going to be a first-round draft pick. But what was it about Nick Saban that convinced you? What was it about him that convinced you that that was the best place for you?
My granddad always told me in life you have to take your time with it. Don't rush the process. It's even like being a child. When you're a child, you kind of rush to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you grow up, you kind of wish you were a child. So with that, I went in there and I just knew physically, okay, I might have been ready. But mentally, no, I wasn't ready. Like the high school that I went to, St. John Paul, was a great place. But I used to make a joke and say my high school was standing room only. They used to be like, oh, y'all games were crowded. I used to say, no, we had no bleachers. So going and running out in front of 100,000, playing in front of millions on TV. Obviously, I wanted to do it. But sometimes we have to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, are we prepared? And I wasn't prepared then. So I just got to work, and I worked my behind off. And then my redshirt freshman year, that's when I knew, like, okay, this is my time. And then, obviously, same thing, just like in life. I kept working at it, kept growing, became comfortable. And then this year, I was a lot more comfortable.
I love that perspective, Terrion. I want to ask you about the draft process and the evaluations. We've obviously been getting ready for the draft next week. We've been reading all these draft evals about you, your profile. But I want a self-evaluation from you. Give us the pitch. Why should a team bring you in as the newest member of their organization? Why should a team draft you?
A team should draft me because I would like to say I'm a quarterback and a cornerback. When I come in, I'm very big on team and camaraderie. Like, I understand the importance of knowing the lunch lady, knowing the janitor, knowing all those people, and never trying to belittle someone. And when you have things like that, and even being at Alabama, Coach Saban did a great job of preaching that to us. When you have guys that are bought in and invested like that, then you can have the success of a team. So with me, obviously, my athletic ability is great, my talent level is great, and my ceiling is very high. But it's really my mindset and my leadership. I'm a leader. I don't mind telling someone, hey, man, I love you so much and I care about you so much, I'm not going to let you cheat this rep, and I hope you do the same thing for me. Because a lot of guys, they say they want to be this or say they want to be that, but they don't really want to be it. They just want what comes with it, mm-hmm. And that's not me. So I would say my biggest attribute would be my leadership, man, and just being a locker room, high-volume guy.
Well, I'm frustrated on your behalf that Belichick is not coaching anymore, because you would be his first-round pick. I mean, this is some performance you're putting on right now, and I'm not saying it's fake. I'm saying you are unbelievable. Terrion Arnold, cornerback, Alabama, saying and doing all the right things that every single team that would be watching and listening would want this kind of mentality on their team, which is just awesome. So now let's flip it the other way. What's the weirdest question you got during this draft process? The one that you say to your agent or family or friends, like, what the hell does that mean?
They asked me, did I want to be a cat or a dog?
How'd you answer it?
I said a dog.
Because?
I got that dog mentality.
Love that.
That's too easy of an answer. You got
to. I mean, if they would have said I wanted to be a cat, I'd have been like, yeah, I want to be like a lion or something.
Yeah.
Big cat.
Yeah, cat guys are weird, right? Yeah. Cat guys are weird.
I don't like cats.
Neither do I.
Are you a cat guy?
No. No.
He only cares about canties. Like, you played 11 years in the league and won a Super Bowl. I need to know what you do for a living.
Definitely not a cat guy.
CeCe, I want to ask you a question for
Terrion. I want a corner that has cat covers, though. Cat cover skills. That's what I need.
Oh, okay. I'm going.
Oh, you got it?
Hey,
it
CeCe, what does he not know as sitting here today a week before the draft that you know 11 years later after the fact playing in the league? What does he not know that he needs to know?
Oh, make your friends before you need them. Make your friends before you need them. Everybody wants to know you why you got an NFL logo on your jersey. Everybody wants to get them. Make your friends before you need them. When it comes to being in the National Football League, when it comes to off-the-field opportunities, make your friends before you need them.
Thank you.
Terrion, last thing. Anything that you want people to know about you as we're heading into the draft process a week plus away, what do they need to know about Terrion Arnold from Alabama, likely first-round pick here?
I would just say, man, put your faith in God. Like, he's going to lead the way for you. And when life is hard or you're dealing with trials and tribulations, just remember when it's rainy days, the sun is going to come out. So always keep to yourself, keep grinding, keep chopping at that tree, knocking it down. When times are hardships, you know, tough times create tough people, man.
Well, we are rooting for you. You're our new favorite player, so we'll see you.
No doubt.
In Detroit. We will be in Detroit, and we will see you there, hopefully. Terrion Arnold, best of luck with the draft next week. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Lil Rel, comedian, actor, brand new movie out. We Grown Now, opening only in theaters on April 19th. New York, LA, Chicago, nationwide, May 10th. And he joins us now on Unsportsmanlike, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Lil Rel, thank you so much for joining us. We want to have you weigh in on two topics that we've been going big with today. Non-sports, non-entertainment. Okay. But here we go. When you go to the barber, do you pay more or less than $50 for your haircut?
I pay way more than $50. But they don't. I don't go to the barber anymore. He actually comes to my house, so.
Okay, CC, that's, okay, all right, we got it. And then cologne, when you put on cologne, where do you spray it?
Ooh, that's a great question. A couple places, actually. So, you know, I do two things. I spray it on my hand and I slap my face. You know, I do a couple quick sprays on the neck, and then I do like a spray in the air, then I walk through it.
See, that's
spray,
what's up.
The spray with the air.
The air, the walkthrough.
Let it lay on you. That's the way to go.
Because, Lil Rel, Michelle has told us that she believes the proper place is behind the knees. That's where you spray cologne, which Chris and I have been thoroughly flabbergasted.
Why would somebody do that?
Michelle, explain to Lil Rel.
I will, because it's a heat zone. So as your body heats up, the fragrance is activated. So as you're moving about, it's going to really have that fragrance permeate.
Right.
Oh, boy. All right, you know what? That's exactly the answer we needed. All right, Lil Rel, tell us about this movie that you have described as a love letter to Chicago, We Grown Now, your brand new movie out April 19th.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a beautifully shot movie. And one of the things that's great about this movie, it takes place in Cabrini Green. It's from these two young men's perspectives. And it humanizes the residents of the Chicago housing projects in general. Because a lot of times, you know, the projects have gotten bad rap about who lived there. This actually focuses on the family and the community that actually came up in Cabrini Green. And our director, Min Hall, who directed and wrote this movie, did an amazing job. And what made this stand out is that she actually took real, real stories from residents past that lived there and threw it in the movie. And it's such, I'm not even lying, it's such a beautifully shot movie. But when I tell you it's a tearjerker, you're gonna shed a tear too.
Well, I'm excited to see it. I feel like I'm an honorary resident of Chicago because my wife is from the South Side. And being that I spend a lot of time in Chicago, I can tell you that there are a lot of Bears fans that are frustrated that y'all can't find a franchise quarterback. This year, the Bears seem like they're going to draft Caleb Williams, the quarterback out of USC, Heisman Trophy winner, with the number one overall pick. I'm just curious, from your perspective, do you have any confidence that the Bears are going to get this right when it comes to quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Justin Fields wasn't wrong. Actually, I still think Justin Fields is the franchise quarterback. Mm. But it's kind of like, you know, it's a champagne problem, to be honest with you. But everybody likes a shiny new toy, to be quite honest with you. So we're going to have Caleb Williams. But honestly, I truly love Justin Fields. We could have kept Justin Fields and I'd have been okay with it.
Laurel, I want to go back to the film for a second, as Evan described it as a love letter to Chicago. I'm from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I love my city. If I was going to make a movie that was a love letter to my city, there are certain details that would have to be in there. What sort of details or nuances did you need to make sure were in this film to accurately depict what Chicago is?
Well, this is what I love about, you know, her actually having conversations with residents. She's also from Chicago, just like myself. And that's one of the reasons why I say yes to this movie, because I am one of those people that are like, all right, okay, who's trying to make a movie about Chicago?
Right.
And I'm real selective about that. But they did a great job of like, because it takes place in 1992. And that was I literally was around the same age as these young boys. And it's so many little things, like little Easter eggs in this movie that reminded me of my childhood. Like the matches jumping, and that was a big deal to us. Like, we didn't have a gymnastics program. We got old mattresses, and that's what we slipped on. And just little stuff like that. It's even a Bulls conversation in this movie that's so dope to me, you know, where one of the kids is like, Horace Grant is my favorite player. And I remember having these debates when the Bulls was on, like when the Bulls was that team, and people having random players they loved on the team. Like, it wasn't always, everybody wasn't like Michael Jordan's got to be. Some people like, I love Craig Hodges. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was... So I love those little references like that that reminded me of my childhood. They did such a good job of showing that.
I'm glad you just said that. I love MJ. I'm not from Chicago, but I love James Edwards on those Bulls teams. I thought he was so underrated. James
Edwards. James Buddha Edwards is somebody who you...
You didn't think okay. He was good, Laurel?
I didn't say he wasn't good, but he was better when he played for Detroit. Like,
I understand
Buddha
that.
Edwards in Chicago is not the same.
I'm just saying. I thought he was pretty good. Lil Rel joining us right now. We Grown Now. Open in theaters April 19th, New York, LA, Chicago. Nationwide May 10th. I'm glad you talked about the way in which it was shot, because I watched the trailer and I thought like something was wrong with my eyes, because it is shot in a different way. Explain this, because the visual of this movie... I'm an emotional person. The visual of the two young kids smiling the way that they are and the way it's shot automatically makes me want to cry watching this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it actually displays black boy joy. And I don't think we see that in a lot of stuff. And even just friendships for young boys. You know what I mean? Like, I've never seen a movie like this that, like, literally, man, does a great job of, like, and let me say this, too. Our young actors, them dudes, Blake and Gian are amazing. They killed it. They're so great. They just did it. It looks authentic. And so when you see it and you see the conversations they're having, even the jokes, it's just so authentic. And when I say it's a tearjerker, it's like it's, man, and I'll be trying not to tell too much of the movie because I want people to see it. Mm-hmm. But it's just these very authentic nuances that happen in there that's gonna play with your heartstrings for real. And it's so beautiful. And it's beautifully shot. It really is.
Laurel, I mean, everybody has their favorite institutions, their favorite places to go down to eat when they're back in town, when they're in their hometown. I know in Chicago, my wife loves to go to the Pancake House on 104th and Western, or she wants to go to Portillo's or Lou Malnati's. I'm curious, when you're back home, what are some of the spots that you want to go to break bread?
Man, that's a lot of places. That's a tough question to ask me. You know, one of my favorite places is Beggar's Pizza, actually. That's my favorite pizza spot. And I talk about this all the time. I love Beggar's Pizza. What else? I mean, I don't even know where to start with that. Because I go to a lot of places. Because it's not even just food places. Like, it's lounges I love to go to. Like, I got a friend who owns a lounge called Francis Lounge on 76. That's just a beautiful staple. Michael Jordan used to go to the lounge when he was a rookie. They got, you know, let me tell you something. You go to Good Hood Lounge and they got a picture of Michael Jordan. That's why I always go. Like, Mike, when he was a rookie, he was just going to some random spots in the hood.
Not anymore, that's for sure. Now he owns that, probably, whatever that restaurant is. Lil Rel, our producer, Pat Costello, has had a take that I think may rile you up a little bit. So I want to defer to Pat for you as a Chicago guy. As someone who literally was part of a movie, and is part of a movie, We Grown Now, opening in theaters April 19th, nationwide May 10th, about Chicago, a love letter to Chicago. Pat Costello, go ahead for Lil Rel.
The Chicago dog is awful and horrifying, and I can't imagine that anyone actually thinks it's delicious with the amount of garbage that they pile on top of it. This is an absolute abomination of a hot dog, and it shouldn't even be called a hot dog.
Lil Rel, your thoughts.
Where are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from outside of Philly.
Okay, that makes sense. Like, Philly cheese is overrated. How about that?
Ooh. It's okay to be wrong, Lil Rel. That's fine.
There's nothing wrong with a Chicago. Chicago dog is amazing. Every time I come to Chicago, even when I'm in the airport, I get a Chicago dog. So, yeah, everything you just said was like, if I saw you, it's going to be a problem.
Wait, Lil Rel, I know you pride yourself on being down-to-earth regular guy. You're in movies. You're a stand-up comedian. You're famous. You probably got a couple of bucks in your pocket. I'm not trying to go there. You can't be having the airport hot dog in Chicago. Come on, Lil Rel.
Well,
you got to be. You're better than the airport hot dog.
No, I'm not. I'm not. They don't give the Chicago dog everywhere. So, like, you have to get it at the airport sometimes. I live in L.A. now. So, wherever I can get a Chicago dog is where I'm going to get it at.
All right.
I don't know. The Chicago dog at the airport sounds like you're risking it all.
That's what I think. And Lil Rel doesn't need to do that. All right. Tell everybody again why they need to.
You guys sound like a lot of hungry people at the airport.
Lil Rel, tell everybody again about why they need to go see the movie here.
Please go see We Grown Now. It's actually a great movie theater experience, too. I think a lot of times we see only action films and things that blow everything up is the best things to see in a theater. This movie is actually very beautiful to watch in a movie theater, from the sounds to the images to even just the heartstrings. This is a perfect movie to go see. Take your family, take your friends, and enjoy We Grown Now.
Lil Rel, thank you so much. If you see Lil Rel at O'Hare, buy him a hot dog. We appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
All right, Lil Rel, getting it done there. We Grow Now out in theaters April 19th, nationwide on May 10th. Getting it done, just like Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
We were chasing the bag last night, Smalls, but we didn't get to the bag because LeBron James let us down. In an elimination game, I thought LeBron would go off a little bit more on the point side. It was a bad shooting night for him. I want to say LeBron James was 6 of 20 last night, including two embarrassing blocks when he tried to take Zion Williamson one-on-one. Didn't work out for him. We had him over 25.5 points. He finished with 23 points, but the Lakers got the dub. So I guess I can't be too mad at it. But tonight, we're going to go back to the association, and we're going to go with the play-in game, Heat versus Sixers. I know Evan's heart is with the Heat, but my money's on the
Sixers. Let's
get
Evan's take on that. Evan, what do you think?
Well, he's not in the studio, okay. So it's okay. Oh. But it doesn't matter. I'm just going to do what I want to do anyway. But I'm going to go with the Sixers on the money line. And, of course, if the Sixers are going to win, we have to go with a big night from JoJo. Trust the process, Joel Embiid. So I'm going to take Joel Embiid to go over, and this is a pretty big number, but I'm going to take Joel Embiid to go over 29.5 points. So we got the Sixers on the money line, Joel Embiid over 29.5 points. That two-leg parlay pays out at plus 131.
I wish I didn't come back to the studio based on that. Having to listen to all the Sixers love.
Canty, can you grab that jar that's behind you?
Yep.
No, I already prepaid. I prepaid $10, Nuno.
Eh, did you?
I think that's expired.
No, it's not. I've had 9 bad takes or late in any way, shape, or form since then? Absolutely not.
Definitely 9 bad takes, right, guys?
Well, but then you should have pointed that out. So now I'm down to 8.
No, you're good. You're good. You prepaid.
Thank you.
You've prepaid. You're good.
Hold on. Can we blame him, CeCe, for last night since Evan very much encouraged you to go with
that's
the bet
on LeBron?
That's
a great point. We should deduct another point. You're absolutely right. So $1 for being late and $1 for last night's take, where you cost not only me but the rest of our audience that's watching and listening some money when they made a play on the play of the night.
You want to know what I was doing?
What were you doing?
I went over to the green room to say hello to Christopher Mad Dog Russo, who then blew me off initially to talk to Lou Riddick. Okay. So I had to wait for the conversation because I had a hold on a second. And that, so he wanted to talk to Lou Riddick, which I don't blame him.
Oh, so you waited to talk to Mad Dog instead of coming back to talk to me and CeCe.
Yeah, you have a radio show that you're supposed to be doing.
It doesn't make me look good. I agree.
No, it's not great.
No.
Jar.
It's not great at all.
So
do you want to give this play of the night the kiss of death?
I'd love to.
Do you want to sign off on this one? Please tell me you don't like this one because it would actually make me feel better.
No, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to trash talk the Sixers with my team playing against them tonight.
Just say Joel Embiid. That's too many
points. He's amazing.
29.5 points, that might be too many, right? I'm going over, but you think I should take the under. Just say you think I should take the
under. I'm not saying anything.
You're not going to say anything.
Not saying anything. Nope. Nope. Time for the unsportsmanlike moments of the day.
We survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, let's start where you guys know I always start, the NHL.
That's my
home away from home, of course. NHL playoff seating is being, and spots are being clinched here. But we saw something last night that rarely do you ever see. The Washington Capitals pulled their goalie in a tie game against the Flyers to try to win the game, and they did. They actually won the game by pulling their goalie in a tie game, scored a goal.
You got it backwards. The Flyers pulled their goalie and lost.
Fine. So you're down to, what, $5 now?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did get it backwards.
Come on, Ev.
You got it wrong.
Come on, Ev.
Because the Flyers were eliminated with the loss. Is that correct?
Yeah, tighten up.
Oh, boy.
Tighten up.
They were eliminated with a tie and then needed some other help, so they knew they were done.
What are you guys doing later? All right, down to $6 in terms of that. But
no,
yes,
$5, I think.
Okay, a pulled goalie in a tie game. You never see that, right, in any way, shape, or form? We saw it last night.
It's very rare. It's a very bold strategy.
All right, let's get to the next one because obviously I had that backwards there on me. CeCe, the names of some of the people that Draymond Green got into it with this year.
Rudy Gobert, that was the chokehold.
Mm-hmm.
We had Yusef Nurkic.
Nurkic.
That was a slap in the face.
Glad you brought that up, because he went on Twitter last night as soon as the Warriors lost, and we will take a look at what Nurkic had to do. You guys tell me if this is fair or unfair, sportsmanlike or unsportsmanlike. He put out the "that's all, folks."
Ha 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 ha.
And then a smiling face emoji underneath. Fair or unfair that he did that, celebrating the loss and the elimination of the Warriors?
Oh, I love it. Troll job all time. I love it. The force is strong with Nurkic on that one. Now, you got to be careful because you're going up against the T-Wolves, one of the best defensive teams in all of basketball, and Ant-Man, who I think is the future face of the NBA. So I'm just saying, you're laughing now because the Warriors are breaking it down in Cancun. You might not be too far behind him. Just going to put that out there.
Yeah, I understand wanting to celebrate the downfall of someone that you have an issue with, but also tread lightly.
Yeah.
Because it's karma's a thing. And even though I think he thinks Draymond's probably getting his karma, publicly celebrating someone else losing, I would be a little cautious doing that.
Karma is the T-Wolves sweeping the Phoenix Suns in the first round?
Okay, so let's say that happens. Is Draymond then allowed to do a "that's all, folks" back?
No, because you got bounced earlier.
No, because he got bounced earlier?
No.
Yeah,
so Draymond can't
lame.
Do anything.
No.
That doesn't mean he won't do anything.
No, he'll address it on his podcast.
Okay, so Draymond. So the rule then is Draymond has to take it but can't give it in this specific case.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And then he can put his 2 championship rings. Well, I guess 4 championship rings. Well, I was just going to subtract the 2 that he had with Kevin Durant, but I mean,
oh God!
But I mean, I guess
why did you do that?
Well, I mean, because Nurkic's teammate is Kevin Durant, and you say, yeah, even without your current teammate, I still got multiple championships.
Well, that's an interesting angle. He can come back. I got 2 with your guy. You got none.
There you go.
Ooh,
interesting. There is a comeback maybe to be had. Now you just gave Draymond
I'm excited for it. I can't wait.
All right, that is, by the way, more than the Lakers Nuggets for you personally, Chris Canty. The number one series by far is Phoenix and Minnesota, because you have gone all in on Minnesota and all out on Phoenix, and they're playing each other. Have you gone all in?
I don't know if I'm all in on Minnesota now.
You're all in on Ant-Man.
I'm all in on Ant-Man.
You can't have Durant outplay Ant-Man in this series.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
No, the series I'm all in on is Mavs-Clippers.
Yeah.
That's the series I'm all in on.
But you haven't been dismissive of the Clippers the way you've been dismissive of the Suns.
That's fair.
Right?
That's
so you've given the Clippers a glimmer of hope, just not a lot of hope. The Suns, you already had them trading Durant this offseason, today.
That's going to happen.
Yeah. All right, last one. The Chargers put out a video yesterday. We have a tour of Harbaugh's RV. It is officially out there. We have the tour of Harbaugh's RV that, you know, he's living in. Jim Harbaugh, the head coach of the Chargers, is living in an RV, and they put it out there yesterday, which, again, like, the whole thing is just so odd on so many levels because of how, let's be honest, I know, CeCe, you don't like when people go into other people's pockets. I get that. Harbaugh's rich, okay? So he can afford a home, but it's in Huntington Beach, California. He has a motor coach, as they call it. And so yesterday, the social and digital team did an entire tour of this. I mean, do we feel like this is still a funny bit, or get a house already?
Get a house already. I'm not understanding this. Like, I just... If he's out there for a thing, hey, I'm hitting the ground running with the job and didn't have time to look for temporary housing, didn't have time to look for a permanent house. I just got the motorhome out here and we're going to do it like this. Okay, that's fine. But it's like this is going a bit too far. I will say, though, it's, as far as RVs goes, pretty damn nice.
And Greg Roman, his offensive coordinator, is like a couple of – RVs away.
He's a couple of parking spots away.
He's also,
I mean, do we know
there.
What the LA real estate market looks like right now?
Yeah.
I mean, do you know Harbaugh's contract?
Well, I'm saying,
okay, that's great, but how many properties are available? Like, there's a lot of bidders.
Again, I can afford it with the contract. When you're buying houses in the eight figures, yeah, it's a different market.
Slightly
different market.
Okay, and there's I've watched enough of those shows. It gets competitive.
That is true. The Property Brothers did tell us the similarity. Sports fans like the competitive nature of both sports and real estate. They did say that. Yes, Pat, I see you trying to jump in. Go ahead.
I just think it's funny that Nuno's like, what, is he looking for a house out in L.A. or something? How does he know about the property market out there?
Nuno?
I've seen enough of those shows. I've watched a real Million Dollar Listing, L.A.
Josh Altman over there.
Yes, Josh Altman,
Josh Flagg, Josh Altman, and Nuno, the big three. Greeny up next. We are on to Thursday. We're Unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.